Hi, it's David.
And Evie.
From the Little Guys Home Technology. It's been a while since you've heard from us on the Score, but we want to let you know we have a big announcement.
The Little Guys are moving.
But before we move, we need to sell our entire display inventory at our Mokena location with huge store-wide savings.
Every type of speaker, including bookshelf, tower, in-wall, and outdoor.
Every receiver, every subwoofer, cable, headphone, projector screen, turntable, and home theater seat.
Save 10, 20, 30, even as much as 50% off from the best brands in the business, including Klipsch, PSP, SVS, NAD,
Macintosh, Sonance, Sony ES, AudioQuest, and more.
Best of all, you can trust the Little Guys to professionally install anything you buy during the moving sale.
It's the Little Guys Moving Sale for a very limited time at 191st and LaGrange Road, where Mokena meets I-80. Online at thelittleguys.com or call us at 708-754-8844.
Now at the Little Guys Home Technology, save up to 50% on top performing home electronics during their moving sale, going on now at the Little Guys in Mokena. The Little Guys.
It's Macy's big home sale with savings for every room. Pillows and comforters from Hotel Collection, Charter Club, and more, 50 to 60% off. All Cuisinart, 30 to 50% off, plus a $25 mail-in gift card. And take 50% off luggage, plus a $50 mail-in gift card. Plus, get an extra 15 or 10% off with your Macy's card or savings pass. Now at Macy's big home sale. Savings off regular and sale prices. Exclusions apply.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Don Cooper, our longtime friend. Of course, Chris Bosio, you hear him each and every week.
We came out of the gates, literally in spring training, playing extremely well and got momentum into September because we smelled it.
We're acquiring talent that we're liking. The rebuild is underway.
Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
This is 670 The Score, where Cubs history is made.
The Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
The world champion Chicago Cubs are looking to repeat in 2017. Join me, Pat Hughes, and Ron Coomer for all 162 games, including every thrilling moment of the postseason.
The Cubs have done it.
This is the one place you need to be, Cubs fans. Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs.
This is the official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs.
High fly ball, deep right field. Get out, the tape measure, long gone. Kyle Schwarber's second home run of the game.
Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios.
The Score!
Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Julie DeCaro. The Wolves love to feed their fans at Allstate Arena, winning 76% of their home games on the way to the Central Division title. Be part of the winning atmosphere. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Cubs have made up 5.5 games on the Brewers and taken a game and a half lead since the All-Star break. Northsiders will try to put some more daylight between themselves and Milwaukee tonight at Miller Park. Jose Quintana has posted quality starts in his first two outings as a Cub. He'll try to make it three straight tonight. Brent Suter starts for the Brewers. Meanwhile, Kyle Schwarber has hit for a .280 average with 5 home runs and 8 RBI since coming back from AAA Iowa. And Cubs manager Joe Maddon says Schwarber's swagger is back as well.
He's definitely more at ease with himself, a little bit more self-confident. I think that's the best way to describe it. When we did send him down, you could see that it was wearing him out a little bit. You can see it in his face. And maybe he had sped things up on his own. But right now, the game's slowing down again. His confidence is building. And as his confidence builds, you're going to see less swings and misses on his pitcher, less felling off of his pitch. It was really nice to see tonight.
Pre-game with Mark Gordy starts at 6:35 tonight, right here on 670 The Score. Elsewhere, the White Sox host division-leading Cleveland tonight. Derek Holland gets the start for the Southsiders. He'll face the Indians' Danny Salazar. And Jose Abreu, no doubt waiting to get going on this one. He's gone 8-for-21 with 3 homers, a double, and 4 RBIs against Salazar in his career. First pitch tonight at 7:10 at G-Rate Field. And day 2 of practice for the Bears in Bourbonnais this morning. Today's workout was closed to the media. In Bears news, linebacker Pernell McPhee had arthroscopic surgery on his knee this morning. There's no timetable for his return. And running back Jeremy Langford sprained his ankle in a walkthrough last night and sat out of today's practice. That injury, though, is reportedly minor. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Ravens signed former Arena League quarterback David Olsen instead of Colin Kaepernick. as many had predicted. And Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald has not shown up for training camp. The Rams and Donald have been in what's been described as delicate contract negotiations. Searching for a solution to the seepage in your basement? Visit uswaterproofing.com to schedule a free consultation. And home isn't just a place, it's a feeling. The feeling that you're safe to enjoy the things that matter most. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. ADT, home safe home. I'm Julie DeCaro. You're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. Next Cubs game on The Score is tonight at 6:35 when the Cubs take on the Brewers right here on 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Horwitz & Horwitz, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers.
Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends. Never ends.
The Bernstein & Golf Show.
It's time for us to talk to our favorite foul-mouthed heathen.
Yeah, how about that? Chris Bryant.
You know, I only like to really say something when it's more obvious to me, you know, because I know it's a tough job behind the plate, with, especially with the pitchers nowadays, to call strikes and balls. And if it's pretty obvious, you know, I have to say something, you know.
Would you be in favor, robot umps?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely open to it. I think you're seeing more and more of the replay and stuff that, you know, the bang-bang plays are tough to call, so that it's nice to have the replay there to ultimately get it right. And I know the umpires appreciate it because they want to get the calls right too, so I'm up for talking about.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff, afternoons on The Score.
Ryan Pace is getting set to join us.
You also said something about grind it out, you know, blue collar, and that's always, it's always a button pusher for you. Like, no, it doesn't have to be blue collar. Just if you score 47 points, and I don't care if you don't run the ball at all, white collar.
Yes,
let's
exactly.
Do that.
I think you come to training camp, you drive down to Bourbonnais, and in your mind, man, you're kind of in that mindset of that.
You got bear down playing in the background.
Yeah.
You know, and meatball.
And I think those adjectives are fresh in your head when you think about the tough mentality we want to play with.
More action. More excitement. More everything. Bernstein and Goff, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That was fun yesterday. It's the Bears general manager pretty much admitting that he just sort of makes up a bunch of stuff and says it by the time he gets there for that first press conference. This is the Bernstein and Goff Show. Anthony Heron is sitting in for Jason Goff today, and you should be checking out our video stream at 670thescore.com. It is brought to you by American Needle. Be sure to check them out at AmericanNeedle.com. And we are joined now by Phil Rosenthal of the Chicago Tribune. He's on Twitter at Phil_Rosenthal. He is on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at Grossinger.com. Hello, Phil.
Hello.
I really like the fact that because of your experience as a business mind and a business columnist and critic, that you were able to ferret out what actually mattered from that J.D. Power survey regarding football viewership and not go for the buried lead that was presented elsewhere and finding out what really mattered. So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
What did you?
That's true of a lot of. So that's true of a lot of. When you see surveys, you really have to look at what they're telling you. In this case, I'm sure you saw it, but the idea being there was, you know, the big headline everybody was going with is 26% of people who are not watching NFL football now or watching less of it are blaming the protests on the sidelines. Well, the thing is, only 12% of the people in the survey said they were not watching, they were watching less football. Some were saying that more than that were saying they watched more, and the great majority were watching about the same. So if you take 26% of 12%, now you're only looking at about 3%. And that's not so earth-shattering. And in fact, also, if you look at the ratings, no matter what people say, the ratings greatly improved in the final 8 weeks of the season. The first 9 weeks were a disaster. It was down 14%. Overall for the season, it's down 8%. But if you take the final 8 weeks, 1% drop, and 2015 was a very good year for the NFL. So it was not as backbreaking as a lot of people want to pretend it was.
So, Phil, what do you think was the number one thing that folks really missed from the J.D. Power article? Because it's so easy for them to try to grab on to the Kaepernick angle of the story, but was there any other?
Well, it's the fact that only 12% said they were watching less football,
mm-hmm.
and I don't even know if I believe them. It's self-reported. I, as I say, the overall ratings didn't seem to indicate that. I think a greater problem, the NFL acknowledged this last year, was that because the games were starting to go longer and they weren't very close, it was difficult to sustain viewership averages. They were contending that you had about the same number of people watching the games. They just weren't sticking around as long. And that actually would explain why they're doing things like, as I said in the column, they're moving there's that awful, awful commercial break thing they do where they score a touchdown, you go to a commercial. They kick off the ball, they go right back to another commercial. Well, they're going to stop that. They're going to make the breaks longer. They're going to have fewer of them. They found in research that people notice how many breaks there are, but they don't necessarily notice if you add, 20 seconds, 30 seconds to them. So this is how they're going to do that, and that'll make a big difference, I think. But the truth is, I don't know if it's going to make the game shorter. I just think it's going to make them less annoying. Closer games and having less things to distract you, like a presidential election that was going, like nothing anybody had ever seen. The fact that the Cubs were on their way to the World Series title was taking some audience away. These things were factors. Once they went away, things kind of got back to normal.
In an effort to make it less annoying, have they thought about removing the Bears from television screens?
Well, you'll notice they're not on the NBC schedule as of now. But no, they have not thought of that yet. I still wait for an American professional sports league to go to relegation. let's bring up Columbus into baseball and drop some bottom teams. But
MLS, did you see that there was a private proposal? There was private money that was ready to essentially buy MLS or a controlling share, but by the terms of their agreement, they would have to go to involve other leagues and go to relegation, and they refused. I thought it's a great idea.
You could actually do it in that league more easily than others. The problem with doing it in most professional leagues in this country is the stadiums aren't big enough.
Right. It's a pipe dream.
Big difference between the minor league stadiums and the major ones. So that would be an issue.
Real quickly, to get back to what we were discussing, there seems to be a halftime problem, or at least on the part of the leagues, a perception of a halftime problem. Because the NBA recently said, all right, halftime's weird. It is going to be 15 minutes, hard clock, a technical foul if the team is not ready to go and out of the locker room in time. Now, football saying the same thing, and actually during commercial break, Anthony was telling me, because of his work for the Pac-12, that they're putting in a similar package of shortening.
Well, the Pac-12 is going to do it in non-conference games. If you look at that's in the column there too. The Pac-12 is going to trim, I think, 5 minutes out of a 20-minute halftime. They're also going to eliminate a few commercial breaks and not add time to them. So this is they're going to see if they can cut their games. But the Pac-12 right now has games that are going 3.5 hours. The NFL's worried because it's about 3:08, 3:10, somewhere in there. I think there is that concern. Look, people are interested when there's action. If there's no action, people aren't as interested. And, the way the NFL is structured, it's not like there's a game going on usually. There might be one or two. If you're watching a bunch of games, they tend to all go to halftime at more or less the same time. So you have this lull unless you're going to stagger the start. So that's, I think, an issue there. And I think to some degree that's the factor, the fact that people, when they're watching TV, they're not just watching TV anymore. They got a phone in their hand. They got the remote. There are a lot of other things that can take you away to something else. And I think even if it's not a huge concern for the NFL at this moment, I think they are looking to the future and saying, wait a minute, we don't want to be the game that doesn't keep up with that.
And we're seeing more and more in the basketball world where it's starting to resemble NASCAR in a way, where you're seeing more integrated advertisements and logos within what you're actually watching during gameplay. How much do you see the NFL starting to go in that direction with in-game ads?
I think that's a way to get around the commercial break issue, is you go split screen or you throw logos in. But, sports has always done that. Listen to a radio broadcast of any sporting event. The number of sponsors that get name-dropped in the space of about 5 minutes is unbelievable. Even your own show to some extent.
To some extent? Are you kidding?
Never heard so many ads.
Right. The Boulevard watch time. No, the point is, this is something. I think they're always going to be looking for those things. I think they're always going to be looking for a way to get a little more revenue going through. So I don't think that's a. I neither think that's a big deal nor you know, anything particularly new.
Isn't it much more of an issue as far as actual game attendance than it is television viewership also? Because if you looked at, I want to say the SEC had kids on their own campuses that just couldn't come to games because they didn't have the cell service, or there was a drizzle and they couldn't take their phones out, or they preferred to be in the bars, they preferred to be in the dorm rooms, that the NFL is getting close, and it wasn't close for me, where I haven't been to an NFL game as a fan since I stopped covering the Bears in 1998.
Well, I'm stuck with tickets, so if you want to come with me, we'll work it out.
I'm just saying, because I can't want to. I can't
well,
want
I guess
to.
Well, you know, here's the problem. This goes to two things, I think, and they don't necessarily articulate all of them, but, you know, they're very excited about the fact that fantasy sports has made it possible for people to watch games they have no real rooting interest in, except for the performance of certain players. Well, that's great, except that it makes every individual team less interesting. So the idea of going to a game and watching one game when there are all these other games going on and all, things you can flip for or watch Red Zone or something, that becomes a lot less appealing, okay? So they got to bump up. One of the things they're doing is they're trying to bump up the Wi-Fi coverage in the stadiums. The other thing, though, is it's not as comfortable. I mean, forever it's never been as comfortable as being at home. I mean, it's not you don't have the, you know, I mean, I guess you could have a $9 beer at home, but it's not that you don't have to. I think that's a problem. I think they've made it such a good television sport that it really isn't. It's an experience. It can be fun, but I'm not sure it's the same slam dunk fun that you say, oh, yeah, I got to go to that game. I mean, if it's cold, people start to say, you know what, I can watch the game more intently being at home. And I think that's a problem they're going to fight. I don't know how you overcome that exactly. The television has gotten so much better. Some things aren't as good, you know, in some sports. But football is one of them where, especially if you're trying to monitor the action of a lot of things at once, it's not necessarily the same experience.
That last reaction from Phil Rosenthal, brought to you by Church's Chicken. Phil, when you look at the way Roger Goodell sort of parsed this in a way where he basically made the double up, you know, that like you described earlier, where you're taking a commercial before the kick and then after the kick, after a touchdown has been scored, he basically made the double up the villain here. He, like, his role as commissioner, where he's just the villain anytime something goes wrong, and then people can throw slings and arrows at him.
Who knew that?
That's the double up right now.
Who had any idea that this was happening? It's sort of one of the things I didn't get into, but it amazed me as I was thinking about it, is the amazing thing isn't that they're going to peel it back. The amazing thing is that they got away with it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you try that in baseball. You know, nobody would be watching by the third inning. It just wouldn't happen. They got enough problems.
And it's so prevalent now. When I'm calling a football game, every touchdown, the producer, I'm asking in my ear, hit my talk back, hey, are we doubling up? Are we going to break? And that it's the same way during NFL broadcast, too. It happens so often.
Yeah, I think another interesting thing, though, they're talking about cutting back. I think there was talk of maybe 30% fewer network plugs, you know, for their, you know, coming up later on 60 Minutes, that kind of thing.
Tonight, Murder, She Wrote.
Right. Murder, She Wrote. Right. You know, and, yeah, no, so I mean, that's, I think, a big ask of a network, of a, you know, these guys who may or may not be making a ton of money in years where they're not running the Super Bowl. That's a big ask of these networks to say, you know what, please don't infringe on our property as such. But yeah, I mean, I think, I honestly think, and I think, I mean, I suggested at the end, I think part of the reason that the double up's going away is sponsors weren't necessarily feeling they were getting value for the dollar. I mean, if you're losing viewers or people are tuning out and coming back, it's not like, you know, am I going to remember that that there was a Geico ad in one of those blocks and a Progressive ad with Flo in the other? I don't think so. It all kind of blends together after a point, and I think the effectiveness of the ads is lost.
And that actually ties directly to the question I was going to ask, because none of these decisions are made in a vacuum. Roger Goodell doesn't decide on his own, and the NFL doesn't decide on their own quite often. How much communication has there been with advertisers about how to go about this and not really upset anyone?
I think everybody's been talking with everybody. I mean, the NFL may not be talking directly with advertisers. That may be the network's job. I'm sure it's part of the conversation. I'm sure that voice is heard in the room, whether they're there or not. I think that's why they did as much research as they did. There was an interesting Bloomberg story the other day about how the NFL set up these sort of fake living rooms where they checked everything from galvanic skin response to where your eyes were going as they watched football games. Wow. And I suspect that they found that, you know, everyone zoned out at some point, and that's something you can then take to advertise. You can take to the networks and say, look, if you're trying to do what you're trying to do here, which is, make a lot of money, because that's certainly what the league is trying to do, then there has to be a different way about it. This is not – the media world of today is not what it was 5 years ago, just as it is, 5 years ago wasn't what it was 5 years before that. Things are changing very quickly. And a comparison I would make, and I didn't do this in the column, but it's kind of like a very slow, cluttered website. You may really want the content on of some video, but if it's too slow, if it doesn't pop or it stops or it stutters or something, you will go find something else that's really good, maybe not as good and maybe not exactly what you want, but you'll find something because there's so much out there. And that's kind of what they're dealing with here. There are a lot of things that you can, that can distract you. Football has been very special, certainly at the college level, but definitely at the pro level, in holding an audience in a way that almost nothing else has. If it loses its grip, and that I think one of the big concerns going on, then there's a real problem. And I think it was a very sobering thing in the first half of last season when something like, as I say, there may have been very good reasons why people didn't watch, but they didn't. And that, I think, sort of woke everybody up and said, you know what? This was a fluke occurrence, but maybe the next one won't be. And we can't afford to be in that business.
Well, let me ask you this then briefly. I know we have to let you go soon. We appreciate being generous with your time. When sports on television, because of what's described as the Jamie Horowitz effect at FS1, what was successful for him at ESPN, of hot take-ism, of a point and counterpoint and strong opinions and shouting matches and having the proprietary content of the people who do that, yet in our sports coverage, particularly football, we don't hear it. We get a little bit of that with Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith and the NBA on TNT, and everybody loves it. And it's awesome. It's personality driven. It's different. Yet football, even with it, whether it's Tony Romo or Jay Cutler, even when there's new blood, everybody falls into the same roles. And every coach is great. And every team could be fine. Couldn't these broadcasts benefit from a little bit of frisson, a little bit of what NBA on TNT is doing?
It's a good point. I don't know. I think so. I mean, you would think that. On the other hand, there's some questions about the effectiveness when everybody on every show on a network like FS1 is doing that kind of hot take stuff, whether it, again, that becomes white noise. But what I would say is the question essentially is, look at the Masters. Look at Augusta, where, Johnny Miller got in trouble for referring to the greens as being as slick as they'd been waxed,
Gary McCord. Gary McCord got suspended for saying they were bikini waxed.
That's right.
Yes.
So you're right. It was McCord.
Were they bikini waxed? Did we confirm?
They clamped down to a ridiculous level, and to what end? Well, they can afford it. I think in this case, I don't know. I think there's concern, frankly, that I don't necessarily agree with it, but there is concern if you're running the NFL and you start opening it up to things like that. Well, at what point does it go from criticism of whether he should have done a passing play or why are they harsh criticism of management of teams, for example. And at what point does it leap over to, that lawsuit about the head injuries?
Mm.
And that is a conversation they want nowhere near these games, right, if they can help it. They don't mind it being acknowledged a little bit on the fringes. But boy, if that becomes, and you start to hear sort of codes now when they talk about guys sitting on the sidelines and going through the procedure. They always talk up the procedure. They never really talk up what's actually happening to the guy's head. That's
or the fact that he's right back in the game.
Right. There's a disconnect they want to promote. They don't really want to connect. Okay, and I think that's one of the reasons that may not be the reason why it's always been a problem in terms of we want to talk up things and not talk up things, but I do think they do like the idea of exercising that kind of control.
Phil, great stuff. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, he's a pleasure.
That is Phil Rosenthal, who writes on sports media for the Chicago Tribune, and he's been brought to you by Boost Mobile. Switch to Boost Mobile's best family plan and get four lines for just $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save. Boy, we're already about halfway done with this show. Zach Zabeman is going to join us when he gets done talking to Bears players. There's some Bears stories today, some stuff we have to talk about with him. Ron Darling of the MLB on TBS at 4 o'clock. And between now and 6, a pair of Cubs tickets could be yours. The Bernstein and Goff Show with Anthony Herron sitting in today on The Score.
Football is back, Chicago. Don't miss our live coverage from Bourbonnais, featuring your favorite Score shows, breaking Bears news, Bears reports from Zach Zabeman, plus input from our team of Bears experts. Bears camp coverage on The Score is brought to you by General RV, the nation's largest family-owned RV dealer, and DieHard, celebrating 50 powerful years, forever DieHard. Visit SearsAuto.com to find exciting offers at a location near you, and the Holiday Inn Express Bourbonnais.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. Welcome back, Bill Belichick. After an offseason for the ages and a Lombardi victory lap that saw the hood go complete Renaissance man, the hood was back in his element. That stone-faced grumbler back behind a mic as the Pats kicked off camp, and he went absolute Matumbo on the first question he heard.
Bill, did every player show up today?
We'll have an update on the roster. Some point.
Let me tell you something. The paint on the Pats practice field wasn't even dry before Hood dropped his first insta face of the season.
Instant face.
Welcome back, Hood, and watch out, NFL, because the Pats look even better than the team that ripped the guts out of the Falcons in that epic Super Bowl comeback. And our hero, the Hood, is already in midseason form. I'm Jim Rome.
Does getting a flavorful, balanced, and convenient dinner on the table night after night feel like a chore? Let HelloFresh take care of the weekly meal planning so you can save time and actually have fun cooking and eating amazing meals. Visit HelloFresh.com and choose what meals you want from an ever-changing, customizable, and always delicious menu. Then let HelloFresh shop and deliver pre-measured ingredients with simple recipes that come together in around 30 minutes, have just 6 steps, and require minimal cleanup. But the best part? It costs less than $10 a meal. So if there's ever been a time to kick those 5 p.m. excuses, break out of your recipe rut, and take the first step towards unstoppable, it's now. Just go to HelloFresh.com/food. To get $20 off your first box, that's HelloFresh.com/food for $20 off. HelloFresh.com/food.
You're going to be driving around and you are going to see multiple mattress firms that are just waiting for you to walk in and take advantage of the coolest sleep sale ever. Now, what's special about this weekend, because today through Sunday, it is on right now, the 72-hour sale. And while supplies last, you get a free Yeti cooler or tumbler with select purchases. And the Yeti quantities are limited. It's only while supplies last. And not only will you get the latest in cooling technology for your brand new awesome mattress, you can save the tax on the best brands. Hampton Roads Pillow Top Queen mattresses for only $209.99. Come on. Plus, save the tax. The new exclusive Beautyrest Black Memory Foam with black ice, only $42 a month for 6 years. Plus, save the tax and get that free Yeti cooler. 0% APR for 6 years, 72 entire months of sleeping interest free. And this is that time of year where it's all hot and you're sweaty. And it could just be your old bad mattress that needs to be replaced with the newest in cooling technology. It's important to be cool, to sleep well. It's good for you. So go to the mattress firm that is near you or wherever you may be as you are out and about this weekend and check out the coolest sleep sale ever. The 72-hour sale that is only through Sunday at Mattress Firm. Save money, sleep happy.
1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today. 1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember,
That's Cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Hi, it's David.
And Evie.
From the Little Guys Home Technology. It's been a while since you've heard from us on the score, but we wanted to let you know we have a big announcement.
The Little Guys are moving.
But before we move, we need to sell our entire display inventory at our Mokena location with huge store-wide savings.
Every type of speaker, including bookshelf, tower, in-wall, and outdoor.
Every receiver, every subwoofer, cable, headphone, projector screen, turntable, and home theater seat.
Save 10, 20, 30, even as much as 50% off from the best brands in the business, including Klipsch, PSP, SVS, NAD,
Macintosh, Sonance, Sony ES, AudioQuest, and more.
Best of all, you can trust the Little Guys to professionally install anything you buy during the moving sale.
It's the Little Guys moving sale for a very limited time at 191st and LaGrange Road, where Mokena meets I-80. Online at thelittleguys.com or call us at 708-754-8844.
Now at the Little Guys Home Technology, save up to 50% on top performing home electronics during their moving sale, going on now at the Little Guys in Mokena. The Little Guys.com.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota. Let's go places.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station, covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins. Middays on The Score.
Jed Hoyer joins us right now.
You know, you always talk about momentum is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. And I think we were kind of a victim of that in the first half. And I think, you know, so far in the second half, it's been the opposite. It's felt a lot like last season in terms of the starting pitching.
Spiegel and Parkins. 9 a.m. to 1. On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
Bears general manager Ryan Pace.
Mitch Trubisky. It has to be equal parts exciting and perhaps frustrating to know that it's just not his time yet.
Definitely exciting. I definitely wouldn't say frustrating. I like the quarterback room a lot. I like the competition in that room. And the Glennon evaluation, that's years in the making. A good spot for kind of Mitch to develop behind the scenes.
Bernstein and Goff. Afternoons 1 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Scoreboard update.
It's 3:31 in the Chicago Wolves Update studio. I'm Julie DeCaro. The Wolves love to feed their fans at Allstate Arena, winning 76% of their home games on their way to the Central Division title. Be part of the winning atmosphere. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Cubs head to Milwaukee tonight to take on the Brewers. Cubs leading the NL Central by a game and a half. After his best game of the season last night against the Sox, Kyle Schwarber talked about the importance of staying focused during the Milwaukee series.
I feel like that's what we got to do with, you know, this upcoming series, is take it a day at a time and play our game and take the end result. And it doesn't always work out.
Jose Quintana looking for his third straight quality start tonight. He'll face off with Brent Suter of the Brewers. Pre-game with Mark Gordy starts at 6:35 tonight here on 670 The Score. On the South Side, the White Sox host division-leading Cleveland. Derek Holland gets the start for the Southsiders. He'll face the Indians' Danny Salazar. Holland has gone 2-0 with a .75 ERA and two starts against Cleveland. First pitch tonight at 7:10 at G-Rate Field. Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, Boston put pitcher David Price on the DL with an elbow issue. Reliever Steve Cishek has been traded from Seattle to Tampa for reliever Erasmo Ramirez. In the NFL, day two of practice for the Bears in Bourbonnais. Today's practice was closed. Tomorrow will be the first practice in full pads open to the public. Linebacker Pernell McPhee had arthroscopic surgery on his knee this morning. There's no timetable for his return. He is currently on the PUP list. Running back Jeremy Langford sprained his ankle in a walkthrough last night and missed practice today. That's the same ankle he injured in 2016, but the injury is believed to be minor. And the USC will not welcome O.J. Simpson back to the sidelines following his release from prison in Las Vegas, according to head football coach Clay Helton. And finally, in stories that will make your head explode today, ESPN's reporting that officials with Adidas pressured referees at their summer championship event in Las Vegas to avoid calling technical fouls against LaVar Ball due to his drawing power and their potential courtship of Lakers rookie Lonzo Ball.
Uh-oh, welcome to Big Baller Zone.
Ugh. The closing bell is brought to you by First American Bank for the best loan deals in town. The Dow finished the day up 33.75. NASDAQ down 7.5. The S&P ended the day down 3.33. This summer, visit the Amstel Light Display at your local retailer to learn how you can earn a round of golf from Kemper Sports Golf Courses with your Amstel Light purchase. I'm Julie DeCaro. You are a hater. Yeah, I am. You're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. Next Cubs game on The Score is tonight at 6:35 when the Cubs take on the Brewers on 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
This scoreboard update was brought to you by Major League Soccer. This August, Tim Howard, Kaká, and the biggest stars in Major League Soccer face off against European champions Real Madrid. Don't miss the MLS All-Star Game presented by Target, live on August 2nd at Soldier Field. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com.
The Bernstein and Goff Show with you on an absolutely gorgeous Friday afternoon. It looks like the high pressure system is dominating and the humidity finally broke. We sort of felt it yesterday on the practice field in Bourbonnais. About two-thirds of the way through the show, the wind shifted a little bit, and it's like that heavy cloud of soup just sort of lifted out of the air. And apparently these next couple of nights are going to be like open the windows and into the down into the 60s.
Were you already drenched in sweat by then?
Oh, it was
kind of too late.
Bad. And they had those little flies that bite your legs that were flying around that you can't do anything about. That was all going on. But yeah, look, I don't mind it. Most years I get into it. I'd spent enough time as a full-time Bears beat guy with every day, every practice on those practice fields. And, you know, I'm kind of a meatball when it comes to that football sound.
Okay.
And I know it's horrible for you, and I know that they're out there destroying each other, but that
and it's terribly painful as well.
Thank you for
it's uncomfortable.
Yes, I'm sure it is. But that crunch, like when the pads are on and they're thumping into each other. I mean, they used to really hit. The Bears practice I covered, they were tackling to the ground and doing inside run and nutcracker.
You're about to go full meatball right now.
It was, but it's like there's a part of you that
back in my day they were hitting.
I'm saying there's a part of you that like, wow, that it was when. You first got exposed to NFL-sized guys. I mean, I've been to plenty of high school games and college games and all that, but to be on a practice field standing there just feet away, the humanity and just that, like that, all of that plastic and all of these people exploding into each other is really awesome.
Looks great in slow motion. and what I love about slow-mo, because athletics in general looks better in slow motion, but with football, it really gives you a sense, especially on the line of scrimmage, for that tussle that's taking place between an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman. And for most novice viewers, they tend to assume that because the big guys who are on the line of scrimmage aren't running as far as the other people, when you're watching the game in live action, you're kind of assuming, oh, maybe they're not getting quite as tired. But when you're able to watch the line of scrimmage in slow motion, you're seeing that the human body is exerting so much energy and force into another very large human body, trying to move it against this other grown man's will. And while that's happening, you're being contorted at all these weird and odd and awkward angles, and between
somebody could be rolling up on your feet.
Yes,
right?
Yes, and it's just so massively uncomfortable. And then you do that like 70 times over a 3-hour period, and slow-mo captures that in a way that I believe the viewer is able to appreciate what's happening on the line of scrimmage, because it is, while maybe especially on the defensive line, the way I describe it when I do camps and coach young people and talk about the game in different places, defensive line is the least mentally taxing position on the field, but by far the most physically taxing position, because not only do you have to exert that force against an offensive lineman and wrestle with him, and sometimes two of them are trying to, you know, push you against your will at the same time, but then after that, you have to find the ball carrier and go chase and, you know, do all these other things. And so it requires something of the human body physically that it really shouldn't be doing.
And even as, like, Ryan Pace was talking to us yesterday about Leonard Floyd, at the highest level, it's also being conscious of setting up somebody on that play for something you might use a quarter later, that you might be showing a pass rush move. There might be a particular use of hands and some of the martial arts hand stuff that you're showing to show it, because you know that there's going to be a time where that part of the pad's going to drop enough for you to get the leverage you've been waiting all game for. So the mental aspect of it, too, as you're seeing all that happen, when I've had defensive linemen, and even guys who weren't really good talkers, when they were able to describe, you know, Richard Dent was like this. You know, Richard Dent could talk about physics and leverage, you know, without using certain terms in those ways, but what he was describing to you was physics and angles and speeds, and it was incredible to hear him discuss some of this stuff about in the moment. Yeah, you're saying you're doing it 70 times a game, but on the 40th time, you're getting something ready for the 60th time that you see that hasn't been there all game, and if you're not ready that one time, that could have been your chance to affect the game. That was your chance to get a ball out, your chance to knock the quarterback down.
What excites me about the second year of watching Leonard Floyd, Jonathan Bullard, a couple of the young, very talented defensive linemen that they drafted last year. Now, I was against drafting Floyd in the top 10. I didn't think the value the Bears would get out of him immediately would equal a top 10 pick, especially for a team that needed more immediate impact players. It's part of what bothers me about the Mitchell Trubisky draft pick this year, when you had a Jamal Adams sitting there who I do feel like is going to be a player who makes the most immediate impact out of any first round draft
pick. That's an impressive young man.
It really is. Yep. He is ready to be a safety at a high level in the NFL from day one. Leonard Floyd was not going to be a day one star, and he hasn't been. The immense physical ability that's there, I do believe, and the intangibles that are there where he works his tail off also, could eventually turn him into a very good football player. And I think there's a good chance it will, because of the coach that he works with in Vic Fangio and how he tends to operate his defensive scheme. What I'd like to see from Leonard Floyd, surely as a pass rusher this year, is to start to utilize the speed, the God-given just burst and explosiveness he has off the line of scrimmage, two, like you're talking about, to set up offensive tackles. Because once you can get that offensive tackle on an island, it gives you more space to operate in within that the framework of a play where you can utilize that speed in a way that he's not really doing right now, or at least that he didn't do during his rookie season. So often he runs to contact as though he's a bigger, more physical pass rusher than he actually is.
And it also plays into when they set short. Yeah. When sometimes you'll have an offensive lineman who is just going to surprise you, and I saw some short sets work against him where he could really take advantage of the guys that bend at the waist or the guys that overreach.
Yeah.
He's gone, you know? I mean, he's athletic enough to simply not be there anymore by the time that guy's executed a move. It's just a bit like you say, he seemed almost eager to engage rather than disengage.
It's because he doesn't know how to rush the quarterback yet. And that's, you know, again, just going back to part of why I didn't like that in the top 10 was because you could tell on film and evaluating him in college that he didn't know how to rush the quarterback yet. He just hadn't done it that much. It didn't look like he had been coached that well at it. So as he gets more coaching, he's a guy who could potentially turn into a future star. This season, he needs to get up the field and immediately get himself into space. So now he can operate on an island with that offensive tackle to either create a short corner with his speed or have an opportunity to counter back inside, where once you've shown speed and you set up that offensive tackle to start to open his hips and chase you up the field, now you have that opportunity.
Yes, hand,
just to
right?
club like you see from Von Miller and some of these great speed rushers in the NFL who can set the guy up, get them chasing you in one direction, and like a great performer where you're making them think one thing, and then all of a sudden, before they have an opportunity to react, you counter back downhill, and then the quarterback's just sitting there waiting on you, because as they climb the pocket, you get to a certain depth, you work back downhill, and a sack is waiting on you. And he's got the ability to do that once he figures it out.
Keith in Oak Forest, you're on the score. Good afternoon.
Well, hey, guys. I like that what you were talking about at break when you're talking about, like, the football and kind of Detroit increasing viewership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my big thing is pace when you're watching a sporting event. So if it's just dragging and dragging, right? What does everybody do? They grab their phone. They're looking for something else to do, right?
Right.
I just thought in the NFL, since there's so many stoppages in play, there's so many commercial breaks, there's so much whatever, what about making it literally like a 30-minute running clock? Each team gets a timeout. There's 20-second huddles. The clock doesn't stop on an incompletion. There's 30 seconds to get when there's a kickoff or 30-second stoppage when you get a point after. That way the pace is constantly moving. Each team gets a timeout that they have to use in that quarter just to kind of stop it. But then that way you're still adding 15 minutes, but you're getting way more action, and you're still getting about 2.5 hours actually sitting down on a Sunday. And the NFL is still selling their halftime. They're still getting a commercial break, you know, for a couple minutes with their timeouts each quarter. And, of course, you're going to get an injury break. But that way the game is constantly moving. I mean, that's, for me, that's what I kind of miss about. Because right now it just, it's becoming unwatchable because there's so many breaks and so many stoppages in play. I don't know what you guys think.
With all due respect, I would need to see that in front of me. I mean, I heard you say it. I would need to really sit down and think about exactly what you're describing, because teams just aren't going to go for that. Because then you're sort of turning it into an aerobic sport here, where there's the NFL players, they do interval training for a reason, because they know exactly what their energy system can be for these specific intervals. You're talking about a really different game, and maybe all sorts of changes to personnel groupings, et cetera, trying to keep guys fresh in that regard. I don't think they want it always moving, because football, as we see it, is sort of a very static sport.
But it's part of what makes it so user-friendly, because you can watch something. This is going to take a few seconds for it to play out. And a lot of times you'll get anywhere from 25 to 40-ish seconds between plays. And so your attention span
slow-mo
as a viewer.
But that's where that's where people can really start to see the game, is in the interstitial there of seeing the game in slow motion that they might have completely missed. That whole game could go by. You could have no idea what you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention challenging it and letting the coaches see it so they can decide what happened and correct the referees who just got everything wrong.
I do like the idea of eliminating watching the chubby refs running to the sideline when something's being reviewed. Just have somebody who's actually in shape run out to them and bring them the little pad. And there's probably going to be some advertisement, like Phil Rosenthal was talking about in his Tribune article. Put an ad on the back of a tablet. Don't have the refs run into the sideline. Have somebody run out to them, and then that will eliminate a couple of minutes in that interval that's taking place.
Yeah, the 630 says, Keith, you just described rugby. Congratulations. This segment brought to you by GilletteOnDemand.com. 40 million Americans wake up to a Gillette shave. Gillette's working to bring you America's number one shave for less. Go to GilletteOnDemand.com and get every fourth order free. When we come back, I want to get into something about you were talking about slow motion and defensive line play, and I think from your perspective as a recent NFL player and now a professional analyst during games, some advice that I think a lot of football fans could use going into the football viewing season, because it's stuff that I like to reiterate, and I want to get your take too on the ways to improve each individual viewer's ability to consume the game that might make it more interesting.
Are we promising good advice?
I can't promise that. Okay. I just think that there are some things that I've mentioned in the past on this show where I've heard that I thought was just common sense, and then people say, oh, I really never thought about that before, and now I watch games differently, and I see more during games than I used to, and I'm sure you can add to this in ways that I don't even know. So we'll do that. This is the Bernstein and Goff Show. Anthony Herron in today on The Score.
Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins, middays on The Score.
Jed Hoyer joins us right now.
You know, you always talk about momentum is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher, and I think we were kind of a victim of that in the first half, and I think, you know, so far in the second half, it's been the opposite.
Spiegel and Parkins, 9 a.m. to 1 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Hi, it's David.
And Evie.
From the Little Guys Home Technology. It's been a while since you've heard from us on The Score, but we wanted to let you know we have a big announcement.
The Little Guys are moving.
But before we move, we need to sell our entire display inventory at our Mokena location with huge store-wide savings.
Every type of speaker, including bookshelf, tower, in-wall, and outdoor.
Every receiver, every subwoofer, cable, headphone, projector screen, turntable, and home theater seat.
Save 10, 20, 30, even as much as 50% off from the best brands in the business, including Klipsch, PSP, SVS, NAD,
Macintosh, Sonance, Sony ES, AudioQuest, and more.
Best of all, you can trust the little guys to professionally install anything you buy during the moving sale.
It's the Little Guys Moving Sale for a very limited time at 191st and LaGrange Road, where Mokena meets I-80. Online at thelittleguys.com or call us at 708-754-8844.
Now at the Little Guys Home Technology, save up to 50% on top-performing home electronics during their moving sale, going on now at the Little Guys in Mokena. TheLittleGuys.com.
Every year, over 1 million fires burn in America. Fortunately, firefighters are on the job, saving life and property, and you can be a part of it. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Are you ready to answer the call? Learn more and find local volunteer opportunities at makemeafirefighter.org.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
This is 670 The Score, where Cubs history is made.
The Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
The world champion Chicago Cubs are looking to repeat in 2017. Join me, Pat Hughes, and Ron Coomer for all 162 games, including every thrilling moment of the postseason.
The Cubs have done it.
This is the one place you need to be, Cubs fans. Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs.
Thanks for streaming The Score, official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs, and the place to hear World Series Cubs manager Joe Maddon talk with Spiegel and Parkins Tuesdays at noon.
Has it been frustrating to you?
Well, of course it is, because you see a lot of young players that are very good having a tough time. It just is frustrating in general to everybody, because we expect more of ourselves. Come out with a renewed energy about the day, and you expect good things to happen, which is what I do every day.
Joe Maddon with Spiegel and Parkins Tuesdays at noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station. Covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
John Fox, head coach of the Chicago Bears.
This has been termed a make or break year for you.
I do this for the love of the game. I don't do it to make money. I've not won a Super Bowl. That's still a goal of mine. It can flip fast. The outhouse to the penthouse and the penthouse to the outhouse. And it happens in this league more than any other league in the world.
Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins. Middays on The Score.
Jed Hoyer joins us right now.
You know, you always talk about momentum is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. And I think we were kind of a victim of that in the first half. And I think, you know, so far in the second half, it's been the opposite. It's felt a lot like last season in terms of the starting pitching.
Spiegel and Parkins, 9 a.m. to 1. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
All right, so I've mentioned this before on the air. If you're getting ready for a season of consuming football, and it was advice that was given to me years ago. I've heard...
Are we done talking about mullets?
Well, it's funny that we were talking about line play and finding the one player that you can attack on the other team, and your coach called that the mullet.
Charles Haley, Hall of Famer, he said that's the mullet. When we find that matchup that we can expose, that's the mullet, so take advantage of the mullet.
Difference between college line play and NFL line play, there's always a mullet in a college game where you can see the other team's always going after him, but it comes down to this idea of watching the line, right? And the best advice that I got was... always, as the play begins, watch the formation, watch the line, let the camera take you to the ball. The camera will bring you there when you don't have to follow the ball with your eyes. Watch what's happening on the line, and by the time the play is over, you will have seen the ball exactly as you need to see it. And it's watching line play is hard.
Yes.
And it's especially hard from that particular camera. So I'm wondering... how did you, or do you have a different camera? Do you have a different way of watching it, a quick replay during games? You know, when I've done games with James Big Cat Williams, he's blown my mind with what he can see before a replay. He will say it. As the truck is gathering it, he'll say, well, the right tackle started out trying to turn the defender in, but he got pushed back and watched his back foot. I'm like, how did you see all that? So that's a skill that not everybody has.
Right. And for me, because I was a defensive lineman by trade, and I was being honest when I said that playing D-line is the least mentally taxing position of real football. I mean, you know, not when you're comparing kicker or punter, but as far as the real players on the field, the least mentally taxing position on the field. We just don't have to know as much of what other people are doing, the other positions on the field, and how they're executing schematically as defensive linemen. But the play, the techniques, and the schemes of the line of scrimmage, those come very naturally to me because that's what I did as an amateur football player and as a professional football player, and what I coached for the most part when I coached. Now, also for me, what made me a better game analyst, because you don't really see defensive linemen as television game analysts that often because of the fact that we don't know as much about it. It's one thing to be in studio where the topics are, you know, you discuss the topics in advance and you can give opinion on it, but to actually, in a moment's notice, be able to break down what the scheme was in a route tree, what the technique was from a defensive back, why running back missed a hole, that's just something that a lot of D linemen don't know.
Because your head's down and you've got your one
job
to do. Yep.
I'm just worried about beating this big guy across from me. And yeah, there's slants and there's loops and there's games and other things that we worry about, but not as much as other people. Where I really advanced my knowledge of what happens in route trees and concepts and QB techniques was when I was coaching arena football. And so that's allowed me as a television analyst be able to break down a lot of what the other positions are doing right and wrong, what's working and not working from a schematic standpoint in a different way than a lot of defensive linemen really end up having to do. And so when I'm watching the game, I'm in a football stadium, whether it's been in Big Ten country or Pac-12 country, and I'm looking out the window, I'm taking my mental snapshot pre-snap of what the formation is. Just like you said, I don't necessarily need to watch the line of scrimmage that long, because for me, I can tell just as the ball gets snapped. I start with my eyes on the line of scrimmage and what's happening in the pit. And then from there, I have a pretty good sense within the initial moments of a play what's going to develop there. Then I get into the route tree. I'm watching where the receivers are going, what the coverage is, how the quarterback's delivering the football. So I get to the skill positions next because I can tell pretty quickly what may be about to materialize on the line before it actually happens.
And we, unfortunately, unless you're watching the All-22s, you can't see the safeties. With the quarterback, is, you know, you see the mic point, and so much of the quarterback's initial decision-making is based on the positioning of one or two safeties. Is it a two deep? Is it a two man? Is it single high? Is it cover zero? You know, sometimes everything they do is based on those two safety positions. Are they hiding somewhere? Or are they waiting to snap back to a spot on the step where they were showing you something completely false ahead of time, the old disguise coverage? And watching the All-22s, they look like ants. It doesn't really look like football.
Yeah, you see little dots just moving. And
which is great for coaching, but not so great for fans. So that's a trick, too. I'm always screaming, where are the safeties? This segment brought to you by Shell. You deserve to be rewarded today at Shell with instant gold status. Just join the Fuel Rewards program and save on every fill every day at Shell. Join now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Talk more about this, 312-644-6767. We also have the Cubs and the Brewers getting going. If you wanted to touch base on what we were saying before regarding Joe Maddon and the fact that he took the time yesterday to say, hey, let's not get cocky here. This is good, but we expect to be good, and we also know that nothing comes easy in baseball. Even just usually, often when you feel it is about to, or you have a sense of entitlement that now it's supposed to feel easy because it had come easy for you. He had a pretty stark reminder yesterday to his Cubs that that's not how baseball works, and I'm glad he did that. We also have a pair of Cubs tickets to give away very soon on the Score.
This is Joe Maddon of the World Series champion Cubs, and you're listening to the Bernstein and Goff Show on the.
Thanks for streaming The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
This is 670 The Score, where Cubs history is made.
The Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
The world champion Chicago Cubs are looking to repeat in 2017. Join me, Pat Hughes, and Ron Coomer for all 162 games, including every thrilling moment of the postseason.
The Cubs have done it.
This is the one place you need to be, Cubs fans. Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
Bears general manager Ryan Pace.
Mitch Trubisky, it has to be equal parts exciting and perhaps frustrating to know that it's just not his time yet.
Definitely exciting. I definitely wouldn't say frustrating. I like the quarterback room a lot. I like the competition in that room. And the Glennon evaluation, that's years in the making. A good spot for kind of Mitch to develop behind the scenes.
Bernstein and Goff. Afternoons 1 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins. Middays on The Score.
Jed Hoyer joins us right now.
You know, you always talk about momentum is only as good as the next day starting pitcher. And I think we were kind of a victim of that in the first half. And I think, you know, so far in the second half, it's been the opposite. It's felt a lot like last season in terms of the starting pitching.